Blog Talk Radio.
If you could be a superhero, would you be Justice Guy? Making sure people get what they deserve, especially women who lie. Like if a wife left...
No time! Because today is the This Week in Comics Beat the Clock Challenge. I am here, your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Anthony St. Andrews. Let's go!
And we don't have time for openings today, because it's our first ever Beat the Clock Challenge. Will we succeed? Will we not? You'll find out, and so will we.
Yeah.
So starting off, all right, what are we starting off with today? Winter Soldier, Bitter March, number 5. Also, sorry, everyone, today we're not accepting callers. So anyone thinking of calling or thinking of not calling, too bad and good for you. Okay, so Winter Soldier, Bitter March, number 5. What did you think, Anthony?
I loved it.
As did I. Moving forward,
yeah.
No. We'll actually talk about these slightly before. Just Batman Eternal, what'd you think? Good, and then bad. Okay, moving forward, no.
Any complaints? We'll actually... Yeah, no time.
All right. No, but, so, I don't know. The thing is, I love this, I have to say, because for a second I thought we were on Eternal. I'm like, no, screw Eternal for right now. Bitter March was actually really good, and I would suggest anyone who hasn't gotten, you know, the first five, the only five issues, it was a miniseries, definitely wait for that TPB, which, knowing Marvel, will be out tomorrow, even though comics don't come out on Saturday, new ones, but yeah, they'll be out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very good with that.
Absolutely. And another good news, slightly related to this, we're getting another Winter Soldier miniseries. I don't know if it's going to tie in, but we're getting another one. But back to this one, I thought the last page was perfect. I don't know about you, but just the way they went from him being in the little place he's in, I don't want to give too much, and just the final panel just in all in black saying the Bitter March, I'm like, that was awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I will say this much. I don't want to give too many spoilers away either, but I know some people thrive on them, strangely. You know, I'll say this much. We don't want to say what happened, obviously, at the end, but if Bucky's involved and it's not 2000, wherever we are right now in their present day, obviously he can't get away free, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, but what I like is that, yes, what's really funny is I picked this to start off because I had not read them until today because I thought, all right, yeah, let me just prep up and whatever. So it's really funny how I thought, oh, well, you know, we're going to start this off because it's the only one that's actually ending, you know, Superman doomed. It's the only one that's actually ending, you know, so I thought, good, we'll start with this. And then how depressing and soul-crushing it was by the end. I just thought, huh, maybe this should not have started us off here.
Yeah,
maybe best for last is actually a better choice.
Because it is quite the depressing issue.
It really is, but I think that's... I like that in the only sense that... Also the fact that, you know, in the same podcast, we'll also be talking about Amazing Spider-Man, which is usually a pretty damn good pick-me-up. But still, I feel as if, you know, it was depressing, but in a good way, because sometimes we do need a little bit of depressing here and there in our comics. Because I think it would have been a complete disservice, even though we knew that Bucky wasn't escaping, you know, walking on sunshine, right? I was still worried about how, I mean, it would have been nice if everyone else got away free, you know? But that's the thing, you know, Shen didn't have a good life, technically, you know, I mean, you know, Fury didn't know what the hell was going on, so Fury, shoot first, and then shoot again. For good measure. Like, there's no questions involved. Just,
exactly.
You know?
And the whole thing with Shen is that if you read the current arc of Captain America that I think just ended, you'll know what Shen becomes. I'm not going to say what, but it is very interesting to see how he used to be.
Which is even better because, sadly, I haven't been reading Captain America because of, you know, some of the things you mentioned to me, which did sound kind of cool, but, you know, when they restarted the new current Captain America run, and I thought,
yeah.
I don't know about this, you know? And you were telling me, yeah, I don't know either. But now hearing that, I would like to jump back into that. You know, I really would, because the character of Shen is a very interesting one. And yeah, now knowing, you know, that he does, you know, keep his role around, whatever, and seeing how, you know, his backstory, and of course, seeing Fury is always amazing. I love, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm a big fan of, you know, of Samuel L. Jackson and, you know, whatever, but the way they made him in the main universe become Nick Fury, I'm not a big fan. Right?
Yeah.
Ultimate, just fine. The current, you know, the 616, not so much. So, being able to see the Fury that I grew up with was just really cool, because I always think he's just such a badass, and I love him.
Oh, yeah.
And it was upsetting, though, to see a character that I love basically destroying everything else that I loved from this miniseries. that's what I'm saying. Like, there were so many things done well that I was happy that it wasn't just, you know, everyone's just kind of skipping around, you know, in the sunset.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of, I mean, really interesting things, I think, about this miniseries. And I would definitely say if you haven't, you know, if you can still find the first few issues, because I'm sure they're probably sold out, if you can, you know, find them, good. Get them. If you want to wait for the TPB, that's fine, because you don't have to wait too long with Marvel. So this, we would definitely recommend this to anyone, even if you're not a Captain America fan, right? Or you're not a big one. Maybe you've just seen the first two films, right? Definitely pick this up.
Absolutely.
You know, because I feel as if you have somewhat of a passing, knowledge of the Marvel Universe, just, you know, maybe you saw the Spider-Man cartoons, so you know who Nick Fury is. You've seen the Marvel movies, so you know how Nick Fury is, sort of, you know.
Yeah.
I definitely pick this up. I think this is a story where any comic book fan can really just, anyone who, you know, is or isn't a comic book fan can just jump on in. And hell, even if there are a few unfamiliar phrases, like, let's say you don't know who Hydra is exactly, you know, where you're like, oh, but, you know, they're a bit different from movies or cartoons or whatever. Don't worry. You know, Marvel usually in their TPBs and even in the issues that you've seen like to explain things to you. They want to make sure that you know what's going on.
Exactly.
You know, unless you're the first arc of all new Invaders. Marvel really likes to let you know what's happening. So if anyone's listening to this and they haven't picked it up yet, please do. I mean, it's definitely worth it. And sadly, you know, we won't be saying that with everything here. So if we're saying it, please know it to be true. But anyway,
exactly.
So we finished our first comic in the Beat the Clock Challenge. Moving forward to Batman Eternal number 13. So, you know, I'll have a lot to say about this, but I heard from you, you said you loved 13.
See, I'm mad because I loved it, because I was ready to drop it.
Yes.
I was like,
yes.
No, don't be good. And I read it, and I'm like, damn it, it was great. So
they,
I love number 13.
They keep,
I know,
on
it's
doing
like,
this.
It's a constant thing where every time I get so close, they go, well, we got to make it great. And it was great. And I loved it because, if I'm correct, it was maybe two or three pages of Batman, and the rest was like Gordon and everything else, and I thought it was great. There are still a few of the subplots that haven't been addressed, but I'm pretty sure via solicits that they're going to come up with in the next few months. But this issue, to me, was what it should have been from the beginning.
That's the thing. Yes, I agree completely. And what I even like, too, and we're not going to talk about too much about 14 until we finish 13, but I want to say, since they're back-to-back, Do you feel as if, because what I thought was, first off, yes, I love 13 as well. I also thought that they broke their streak, because their streak is make one good and then make one questionably most, you know, kind of tier closer to bad, right, on the tier. I would argue that both were pretty solid.
I know? Think so.
Where now I'm extremely worried about what 15 has to hold. You know, after what 13 and 14 are, now I'm worried that 15 is just going to include, you know, how they made Professor Pig's mask.
Well,
you know,
I can tell you number 15 is going to delve more into the supernatural aspect of it, back with Batwing and Jason Blood.
That's my exact point. That's my point right there. I'm not saying that I'm not saying I want that to be dropped, because they didn't introduce it. I want them to finish it. But that's exactly their operandi. Just, we're going to do some really cool things. And then remember that one thing we introduced a while ago that you probably want us to forget? Well, we didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's fun. What's funny is that's going to be the entire issue, I can bet, with maybe 1 to 2 pages of freaking Robin in Tokyo.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Bet you money. Not even going to mention most of what's actually going on in Gotham. But anyway, stick with these. We have a challenge to beat, huh? So, yeah, 13, like you said, I really think this is what Eternal should be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what brought on the change. I find it funny, because obviously we have to assume that it's always been planned this way with solicits and everything, but just something about it just felt as if they were looking at low sales. And they thought,
I have to disagree. I think it might be because of the writers. I feel like each writer was given a specific plot point to work on, and since they keep switching writers every few weeks, I think that's what the cause is.
Oh, okay, so that's... No, because that's the thing. Like, I assume this was planned, so that's what I'm saying. I know it's not because of low sales, but something felt as if it was, but obviously it can't be, because... solicit. So thank you. That is definitely an easy thing. Yeah, they switch writers, so you basically don't have to buy all of Eternal, although you do, because they'll throw in 2 or 3 pages to make you think, damn it, I will miss this plot if I don't buy this issue.
Exactly.
But you know, because yeah, if they did it, if they weren't smart, because that is a smart thing to do. If they weren't smart, then yeah, in theory, you could skip certain issues of Eternal, making you think I don't care about Batwing. You know,
mm-hmm.
But they're going to do something in the next issue, in 15, where they will end up. You know, they'll do something where it'll be like, damn it, there's like 5 pages of Batman scattered throughout.
Exactly. And then you pick up number 16, Batman's riding a pony, and you're like, what the hell happened last issue? What did I miss?
Exactly, right? Just and the prettiest pink pony they can find, but armed to the teeth with bat everything. Basically the My Little Pony crossover that everyone didn't want, but a few did. But anyway, moving forward. I will admit, though, still talking about 13, Gordon's son was actually worth it.
Yeah.
We talked about him not being just so out of place in 12, which is really funny. And then we actually see him, and he's worth it. But like I said, bit earlier, Tokyo does scare me.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have to say, with the way they've been treating their plot points, we probably won't even see Tokyo be addressed for another 6 weeks. So, I mean, with how much they care about Red Robin.
Exactly.
Don't worry, Tokyo won't even be mentioned for another 6 weeks, so it's fine.
It won't even be in an issue, it'll just be in a quick one-page flashback.
Exactly. Just, this is my adventure in Tokyo. Like, it'll be both him and Harper doing the peace sign in front of, like, those, you know, like a camera booth, and then behind them is Godzilla. Not even posing, just destroying the city. So yeah, that'll probably be what'll happen there.
Absolutely.
By the way, with Godzilla destroying the city and Jiro trying to fight him with the super kick. I'm going to safely assume that's where we're going with this. And yeah, so 13, like we said, was actually pretty damn good, close to great. You know, again,
yeah.
If you didn't get 13, if you dropped it at 12, get 13. Right? But then 14.
You need to get it.
But then 14.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I will admit, it was in good territory, but it was kind of going down the slope. Not so bad that we would say, oh, drop it at 14, but we are concerned about its future yet again.
I'm curious, what made you think that exactly? Like, what part?
I have to really pinpoint. There's just, so we've, okay, now I can really kind of, we have a challenge to beat, damn it. Why are you trying to do this to me? Put me on the spot. I was going to say it's bad and move on. No. Basically, we have these plot points being addressed and finished up. And I will admit, yes, there are certain things that do make me interested. Like now we have the new cop all of a sudden seeming like he's going to become evil.
Yeah.
But I feel as if that is drawing things out of it where I kind of, you know, where I will admit, yeah, the supernatural thing does kind of get me a little bit like, oh, come on. Because I'm a bit more of a, you know, if it's Batman, I want it to be a bit more, you know, detective kind of, you know, cop-based or, you know, villain-based kind of in, quote-unquote, reality, if you will, as real as comics can get, you know. But I still feel as if it's just, all right, from what we've seen, it looks like organized crime, the mob and everything, is going to get so sophisticated that that's the rule now, you know, that's who's ruling the city, or something supernatural is going to blow everything to kingdom come, and then the city will rework itself to becoming what we've seen in that prequel issue, or, you know, really that more in the future issue. That's kind of just what I want to get to sooner. Like, I don't like that they're like, oh, look, now everything's solved. It's like, okay, so, but we're obviously not done here.
Yeah.
You know, we're not done. So that's the thing, where it feels as if they've solved everything. Like, oh, good, like, you guys can stop reading now. Except please don't, because crazy things are going to happen one day. And I will admit, I do like the focus on Arkham, because I'm a huge fan of anything that happens in Arkham, you know, Arkham drama. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of Joker's daughter. So right then and there, that kind of pulled me away. She did say we. Which does make me think, ooh, maybe someone else is involved. But I don't
especially,
know too much about her character.
That. Yeah, and when she also said, that's what my daddy told me, I was like, is that a Joker thing? Is he coming back?
No, that is not a Joker thing. She's freaking nuts, you know? Did you read her
villain
origin
issue?
Yes.
The villain? No, I didn't, actually.
Okay, I haven't read her actual series, which I do want to, if only to see what is her complete deal. But her Villains Month issue, do you at least know what happened in it?
No, I know nothing of it.
Okay, here's the issue. See, so do you. You're like, oh, ho, ho. For me, she actually lives in the underground with underground people, and she found Joker's face and put it on because she's crazy. That's her story.
That's really underwhelming.
That's what I'm trying to say. There's a reason why so many people were like, I don't know about this Joker's daughter thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen her actual main series. But from what I've read here and there of, you know, that issue and then, you know, the her Villains Month issue and then other things here and there, she's basically underground. Like she lives in the sewers with sewer people. And she usurped the main king's position and basically, like, killed him and went nuts, and now she kind of is, like, their queen.
What?
So, yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you see this now. Like,
yeah.
We're trying to do a beat-the-clock challenge, and we have to have a moment of silence to really understand that that happened.
Oh, my soul is in pain.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, because when I heard about Joker's daughter, I thought, I need to get involved in this. After reading that issue, I thought, I need to step back a bit. Maybe give it some time. You know, I don't think she and I can work. I don't think we can actually work out here, you know? That's how I felt. And I will admit, I want to maybe read it again. Maybe I read it wrong. But I'm fairly certain that's what happened. I'm fairly certain that I'm not remembering wrong. Because something like that, you just don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
It's burned. You can't forget that, man. So that's the issue. Where it's just, you know, I haven't seen her series, or maybe if it even ended, or maybe if Batman caught her and put her there. I don't know if she infiltrated there. So that's the thing. So you say we, and you're like, what if Joker's back? No, she's Dwella Dent, I think, still. So for all
thing I could think of is that she is going to be on the new Suicide Squad team.
Yeah, I will admit, that looks interesting. That looks interesting. Other
especially
than that,
the
though,
chemistry between her and Harley.
Yeah, that looks very interesting, I will admit. You know, even though I don't understand why they need a new one, still, that, you know, they need to shut it down and make a new one, whatever.
Yeah.
That looks interesting. You know, fair enough. I'll give you that. I'll say it over and over, because it does. But other than that, though, her, everything kind of around it, from what I've seen so far, it doesn't seem interesting. And we makes me think either she's working with someone else who, hey, maybe that supernatural cosmic person that's in her head, or it's just the fact that Dwella, you know, so that's how she speaks. I can't remember if that is how she spoke, or, you know, but again, it's the insanity talking, not she's actually working with her dad, because don't you worry, this will not bring the Joker back.
Disappointing.
Unless they want to, you know, maybe they're going to do it eventually, but that'll be issue 38. You know, it won't be. Yeah, we're at 14 right now, everybody. Not going to happen anytime soon. But again, so that's the thing. I admit, Arkham stuff really is interesting. And hell, when you saw, technically she put her hand through the wall.
That is true.
Which is strange. Or someone did, if it wasn't her. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe she is working with someone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So fair enough. But just her character doesn't really entice me to go, oh, I need to read this next issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that much. You know, so that's how I am with that. You know, I will say, though, that there were a few things that I did enjoy and not enjoy. Like, you look at Penguin, right? And I enjoyed that he kind of got to break free and that he basically showed that, you know, he doesn't like to fight. He doesn't want to fight, but that doesn't mean that he can't, right? That just means that he likes to be a bit more dignified, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. My problem, though, now with that becomes that, you know, there's... I know that people have killed before New 52, but it seems as if there's, like, a new trend in the New 52, where if you're not a serial killer, then you're totally just not a cool Batman villain.
Yeah.
You know? Everyone needs to be a serial killer. Everyone. Like, if you haven't killed one guy, then it's like, dude, like you're in Arkham for what? It's like, you just stole some stuff, man. You know? Like, people can be crazy even if they don't kill everyone. Like, you look at someone who, like, the Riddler. And I'm not saying he was any more sane or whatever before New 52, but now New 52, that guy just caused World War VII. So,
yeah.
That guy just destroyed, you know what I mean? So, that, like, now he isn't just you know, and I don't want to say just because I don't think it's, you know, bad to say he's just the Riddler. But, you know, there's a difference between, like, I have really cool riddles that, while they might make people come to my crimes, you know, they can be some pretty sick and twisted crimes or some crazy stuff. Now it's just, so you're the guy that threw Arkham into, you know, this zero year.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, like, you know what I mean? Like, he isn't just, like, if we ever see the Riddler breaking out of Arkham again, Batman, I want to shoot Batman. You know what I mean? Like, Riddler should die for that, you know? It doesn't make it's starting to make Batman not look like a good guy for putting them in jail and whatever. It's making him look like a huge jerk and incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So in doing stuff like making everyone a serial killer also, right, some would argue, well, making them serial killers, that's a bad thing, right? That's how crazy they are and whatever. Yeah, but it kind of takes away the impact of being a serial killer, you know? It takes away the impact of being so evil and twisted when everyone is that evil and twisted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's kind of, you know, standard for Gotham, but still, it really takes away that impact, you know? We're like, if everyone in the world was a serial killer, would it be a bad thing? You don't know. That it's bad because we have a specific amount of people, right, who, okay, you're a killer, you're more of a, you know, like a businessman savvy kind of person, you know, you will do this and this, and that's the thing, where it's just, it seems as if everyone is kind of becoming this murderer, you know, these types of murderers, or, you know, they'll kill anyone, they won't care, have no, and then also, it's just, you know, I don't know, just again, everyone can do it, right? And it kind of, and even if you're saying, oh, no, but, you know, Joker, who also did it, or Penguin, they were at the end of their rope. You know, they had no other option. Then stop putting them in these situations where they have no other option.
Exactly.
You know, where it's just, the only option they have is to kill. It's just like, well, you're doing it, writers. You're making it seem, that's the thing, where it's just like that, little things like that kind of added up to make this issue not as good as 13 for me.
Mm-hmm.
But we've talked. Oh, actually, no, I was going to continue, but then I had to say this. Continuity.
Oh,
I don't know if you noticed this, but, you know, Gordon talks about how old he is, right? Which is true in the old universe.
Mm-hmm.
But now he should be fairly spry, because I'm sitting here thinking that DC doesn't even know anyone's age right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it holds up. Like, I don't know if you noticed that, because Gordon talks about how he's like, oh, I'm way too old. It's not like when I was young in zero year. And it's like, but the Robins are 5 years apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet, you know, so how long was it before he didn't have a Robin? Even if it was just, like, even if it was just 10 years, you know, Gordon was pretty young, I thought, unless he was in his 30s, maybe. Fair enough, I guess.
I mean, sure.
But, yeah, I'm saying, but, like, they were billing everyone as, like, being in their 20s.
Exactly.
You know? So they were billing everyone as being in their 20s. Then they were, you know, so how many years have actually gone by? That's what's really confusing me now, because now it's just, and I know you can just say, well, DC doesn't care. But they're trying to, because at first they were like, oh, all the Robins are, you know, they aren't 5 years apart each. Now they're all in the same 5-year span.
Yeah.
Right? So they're only a couple years apart each, mostly, you know, at least being Robins. So they're in that same 5-year span, right? Batman had to have had some time to himself, yes, but how much time did he have, you know, after the zero-year thing where he's in his 20s, you know? Now he can't be anywhere, like, in his late 30s, because that would be way too, you know, that would be terrible for the DC timeline. They want him young. So Gordon's that much older? Like, Gordon made it sound like he's in his 50s.
I know.
Like, that, yeah. Like, yeah. And again, that makes sense pre-52. But now everyone's supposed to be young and spry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where Gordon should be at least in his, like, mid-30s right now. So if he's in his late 40s, then it's just like, wait. So, like, it feels as if, what reboot? That's the question. What reboot?
Exactly.
Reboot? What reboot? That never happened, you know? You know, it's just, but anyway, Let's stop complaining. Let's actually move on to good things. Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man number 3.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
I know. I felt the same way.
I mean, how did you feel, like, overall?
I love the issue, and I love the way they ended it, too. Normally, I hate cliffhangers, but the fact that he was in the exact spot where Peter Parker had died was just, I thought it was really a nice touch.
I know. I liked cliffhangers, if only because there was so much in this issue that was actually good. that didn't make it feel like it was filler. I mean, it's funny because we mentioned how Last Ghost Rider felt like filler, the last Ghost Rider we did. And it's just, and you can argue, well, but this was filler. But no, so much happened in this, you know, where, I mean, first off, I would like to mention, I was laughing so hard at the drag queen Miss Marvel, and I was strangely aroused. I'm not going to lie. Well, no, but seriously, I would like to point this out. I don't know if you noticed this. It took me a few minutes to really hit me. The writer for this, you know, Bendis, he's really smart because he could actually be throwing that in there as foreshadowing.
Yep.
I don't know if you picked up on that. Where as for us, it's a joke where it's like, oh, it's a crazy drag queen who's just sitting there going, the worlds are merging. But it's like, wait a minute, though.
Yeah.
They actually are, like, is that why we're seeing, like, most of that? Now Peter and Osborne, who were rumored to be dead, now all of a sudden are back to life without so much as a hissy fit other than from the people that went, wait a minute, no, we should be dead.
That's pretty much where I'm thinking, because there was that whole, I don't read too much into the Ultimate Universe, but there was that whole thing where Galactus came and kind of destroyed some universe or something to that extent.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe, you know, that's how...
Which is just amazing, because now we're thinking, and sadly, I don't read too much into it either. I had to look into some things for this issue, because obviously we have Maria Hill as an NYPD officer, and, you know, after reading into that, I realized that, she's an ex-SHIELD agent, SHIELD is no more, you know, things like that I had to really kind of read up on. But but other than that, I would still argue, you know, this is also, this is kind of a good jumping point, I would say, for anyone who doesn't. No. You know, other than little things here and there, like even the Jessica Drew thing, that was explained by Miles, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that someone like me who didn't know that could go, oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so that's just it. That's the cool things here and there, little stuff. But yeah, I was a huge fan of this issue, and it was just so good. I mean, I cannot wait for the next one. And personally, I feel like Bendis has sold me so well on this book that it sold me on the Ultimate Universe. You know, I want to get every Ultimate book now, minus the, you know, like Ultimatum. You know, the things that I know that I shouldn't be getting. But I think in the next year I will be getting a decent amount of the Ultimate Universe, or at the very least, Spider-Man's universe. Yeah. And, you know, because, hey, why have one universe's knowledge in my head when I can have two? That isn't frightening, right? Just
not at all.
The universes will merge in my mind. Yeah, Jessica Drew is Maria Hill in 612. Oh, shit. I mean, what I mean is that Miles Parker is Aunt May's Octo Octavius' boyfriend. I don't know! Stop talking to me! But just someone looks at me. I was just asking if Spider-Man got a new costume. Jeez. But seriously, though, I mean, I was a big fan of this issue. I mentioned what I liked. Before we move on, what did you like a lot from this issue?
Pretty much all the same stuff you did, honestly. I mean, one thing that I did like, not really story-wise, I love the way that Bendis writes every single character. And, I mean, he has been on Ultimate Spider-Man since the very beginning with Peter Parker back in, like, 2001 or so.
Right.
But I love the fact that every character he just nails to a T. Like, the beginning with Jameson I thought was funny as hell. When he's talking, you're giving this lecture like, this is how you get news. Then Ben Urich comes in and says one word, you'll see. Was that so hard? And then every character just delivered.
Yeah. What I think is the best is just, you know, it's just, I will not, you know, it's like, I will not do this, you know, this half-news crap without actually having real things to back it up. They're all looking at him with the picture behind him. I know what's behind me.
Yeah.
I just lost it. Because I saw it before they even noticed it. I was like, the framed picture behind you.
That's what I'm talking about. All those things, he just nails it.
Yeah, I think he has a knack for these characters, and I think he makes them all so real, and he makes the comedy just, you know, it's Spider-Man. That's what I'm saying. That's what I like, you know. I don't want to read Spider-Man other than Parker Luck. I will admit, Parker Luck can be a bit upsetting, obviously. But other than Parker Luck, I don't want to read Spider-Man and think, well, I'm really sad now.
Exactly.
You know, it's fun, I think. I think, you know, Peter or... Because I think if there's no Peter now, we need to have fun elsewhere in the universe. You know, it can't just be, well, Peter's gone, so everyone's sad and depressed, you know. I mean, yeah, the people are surrounding Peter, sure, but others who are kind of on the outside, and hell, I even liked the Katie stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
I did. You know, because, and I think it was even better, because now Miles' best friend was like, why do you tell that to everyone? Just again, just the little things here and there, I think, that really made this issue, like I said, that pick-me-up when we've kind of had, you know, Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And a few other series here try to make me go, well, yep, you know, super serious evil and sadness. Like, no, we have ourselves some Ultimate Spider-Man goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah, so moving forward, we now have Amazing Spider-Man number 1.3, which I didn't know how to feel about this issue going in, which was kind of funny. I didn't know. Because I was like, you know, because the series had already sold me, but even 1.2 made me feel like, all right, we really have to go up to 1.5?
Yeah.
You know, like 1.1 was so good on its own as a standalone that it actually felt weird to have four more issues going along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, you know, and I like this one. Like, I thought, just like Ultimate, this was just a fun issue. Minus the end, it was a fun issue.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with you, because even from, I thought 1.1 was great. I didn't really feel like it was necessary to go on anymore. 1.2, I was kind of eh with. But I really ended up enjoying this one. Just the way, one of my favorite things was Aunt May at the science fair. And how he introduced her to one of his friends.
Yes.
And she's like, I wish I'd have you over for dinner. And she just kept trying to set Peter up with a date. I thought that was so funny.
The best thing in the world is he goes, you know, Aunt May, she isn't like that. You mean someone who eats, dear? I lost it. Because, yeah, that's just, you know, that's all that she was trying to say. Like, oh, you know, just come over. And then the second, like, what I like is that Aunt May's wit. That you don't really see too much, where you just, you know, it's just, well, I am a vegetarian. Oh, it's fine. It's just, their beef stew is mostly peas and carrots. I was like, Aunt May, you're really smooth. You know, and it's true. It's funny how most parents are a lot smoother than you think when it comes to their kids in actually getting them dates. Where you know, where if you got the right girl, honestly, or even, you know, the right boy on the other side, they're mostly like, yeah, that was sweet. Awesome. I'll come to your home.
Yeah.
Okay, right? And I will admit, after seeing some of this issue, I now feel bad for Clash.
Yeah.
Which I sort of felt bad for him last issue, but again, it really hit home this issue where it's like, damn, like, you know, like, I now want Clash to team up with Spider-Man because they both just have the most terrible luck in the world.
They really do.
And when they clash, it just goes up to 30. So you know what? Maybe they shouldn't. Oh, damn it. I just said when they clash.
I know. I was about to say.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. When they come together, it's so bad that maybe they shouldn't team up. Like, they team up, the entire world just goes. The Civil War would have ended with Galactus coming in had Clash and Spider-Man teamed up.
They team up. We get the opening page to Batman Eternal with Gotham in flames.
Exactly. Just, what happened here? Just Spider-Man and Clash said hello to each other. A bomb went off in New York. But seriously, though, what I also like, by the way, is, as I'm sure you may have noticed, it's, obviously, it's, you know, a quote-unquote flashback, so it's meant to be like the older, you know, comic books. But it really is like the older comic books. Like, you know, as a guy who's read some essentials here, not something like a badass, you know, but I've read a few older Spider-Man essentials, and I like the superhero references because that's just how they were back then. And, of course, they'll still have issues where it's like Spider-Man with Nova or something like that. But it's just really interesting how it's not an actual, you know, oh, here's a superhero coming in. No, it's just little stuff here and there where people will be cosplaying or they'll be talking about their heroes and talking about wanting to emulate them. And it's not just Spider-Man. That's what I like. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And because back in the day, I mean, yes, Spider-Man was Spider-Man in his series, but they would have little things here and there. Like, when they had a cameo, it wouldn't be. It could be, you know, Spider-Man teams up with the Fantastic Four. It could be. Or it could just be Spider-Man walking down the street. Hey, look, there's Doctor Strange. You know, little things like that. Where it'll be red, like, you've seen, like, I remember there was one issue where, like, it was a way to promote their other series, but it was really cool how, you know, Peter's just walking down the street, and they're like, oh, no, there's a criminal there. All of a sudden, the criminal trips, and the cops catch him, and the criminal's like, how'd I trip? And who walks right by Peter but Doctor Strange? And they're like,
oh, wow.
Hey, kids, that's Doctor Strange, lives in East New York. And it's just literally just he used his mental powers to trip the guy because it was a criminal running from, like, a bank or something. With the money. It was little things like that.
That's
it's just,
pretty
it's
cool.
Nothing, Yeah, where it's like, hey, look, you know, it's Peter Parker going around New York, and wait a minute, is that the Fantastic Four in their jet? It's like, thank you, Stan Lee, it is. Like, little things like that. So it's, I like that they had that in this issue, too, where it was just a lot of references to, you know, Iron Man, and there was a kid dressed up as Thor, which is one of Peter's friends. You know,
they were talking about how Ant-Man talks to his ants.
Yeah, with a smelly helmet. It was a really good issue. And again, if you, you know, as we've said about the last few issues, you know, the last few series that we've been talking about, if you haven't gotten this series yet, definitely do it. Because you actually literally need to know nothing about Spider-Man to get it, which is really cool. You just need to know that Spider-Man is that guy who got bitten by the bugs. You know?
Exactly.
Which is really great about this series, I think. You literally need to know nothing. Yes, it's good to know stuff because you'll get the references here and there. But as long as you know, yeah, the movies have that, you know, Iron Man guy. Right? Oh, and the Thor one. Oh, and the Avengers people. Oh, and Spider-Man's in those movies, too. That's all you need to know. Like,
exactly.
I'll even admit, Ultimate Spider-Man, yeah, you might need someone to explain some stuff to you. Or just take what they say at face value. Just, oh, no, you know, the Green Goblin killed, you know, Norman Osborn killed, you know, Peter Parker right here. I'll take your word for it, Miles. Because I sadly haven't read that arc. So I'm not too well-versed in the Ultimate Universe. So, you know, I'll have to take your word for it. But with this, you can just jump into it, whoever you are. So if you haven't picked it up yet, definitely do that. Or wait till the TPB that comes out tomorrow, even though the last two issues haven't been released, because Marvel is that damn good.
Absolutely.
Yep. And moving forward, Action Comics 33, Superman Doomed, Super Doomed, Part 1, or Chapter 1. They've somehow, I don't know how they did this, the last two chapters, right, of Enemy of the State, were only a two-chapter arc for some reason. I thought, and that's why I was confused. I texted you, it's been a while since I've read these. You know, I read them today. The last one I read was, you know, 2 weeks ago. So I texted you and I said, you know, was the last one Superman Wonder Woman 9 for Enemy? And you told me yes. And I said, are you sure?
Yeah.
That was only two chapters, and now they're doing Super Doomed. And I'm hoping maybe they cut two chapters and thinking, let's get this over with quickly. But even then, you and I both think this
we're going to the end of August with this thing.
It
doesn't need to be this long, guys.
It doesn't. You know, Action Comics 33 was great. And then all of a sudden, just like Eternal, the Eternal Syndrome, the next one was not so great. You know, Action Comics 33, you know, at first I didn't know how to feel, and then I liked it, right? And I really did. And I don't know. I mean, what's great, I think, is that it does make sense. I don't know if we talked about this before, but it does make sense, I think, to have this and Eternal running at the same time, I'll admit, because it does make you think, oh, right, that's why so-and-so isn't here to help so-and-so.
Exactly.
Because they're dealing with some really crazy shit right now. But I'm just hoping, you know, again, we know when it's going to end, so I can't say hoping it ends sooner or hoping this and that, but I really like Superman supporting characters, I think, so them talking really did make it for me. I will admit, I didn't like Supergirl, but she does have rage on her finger.
Yes, so.
And she is trying to lead him to do good anyway, so egging him on to do good, so I couldn't really argue. Like, I know you may have thought it felt like filler, fair enough. But it was interesting filler, and I think that's what maybe got me with 33 more than Superman Wonder Woman 10.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the thing, where it was interesting filler. I liked where Lois was going at that moment, where it's just, I don't know what you're talking about, Lana. You know, just, I'm pretty sure the entire city is destroyed. Daffodils and daisies, Lana. Nothing to be worried about. Come down and let us talk. Take your ship's defenses down and let us have a chat. You know, like, I don't know, Skynet.
Pretty
I'm going to have to take a rain check.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for me between the two of these issues is that we're bringing in Cyborg Superman, who I've wanted to see a lot more of since his Villains Month issue. So
sadly,
that's pretty much what...
I did not read that, but I also agree. When I saw Cyborg Superman, I thought, wow, the next issue must be really good.
Yeah.
How wrong was
that? A lot of people thought that.
Yeah. But, Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that happened. And it's very interesting because, again, it's the Eternal Syndrome. You know, it's just somehow it was so good, in my opinion, 33,
mm-hmm.
where it was like, oh, I think we're actually breathing some life into this. And then just, I don't know what happened.
It's just
really
the fact that, once again, they're switching back and forth between different writers.
Yep, that's what it is, because that's really what it is. Because, you know, we have this Brainiac be introduced, but what's interesting is that now it's just, you know, as Lois Lane, for some reason, in the Lois Lane shape, for
mm-hmm.
some reason, Brainiac is in complete control. The second Lois Lane actually starts to look like Brainiac, which, by the way, looks like a green She-Hulk, which, by the way, does not make the Doomsday Superman Hulk thing any better, especially when Hulk... especially, I'm sorry, I called him Hulk. Especially when Superman says, I want to smash.
Oh, God,
more.
Yeah.
That does not make any of this better, DC. You know what you're doing. Stop it. Right? So,
exactly.
And now all of a sudden, right, it's like Brainiac isn't in control, apparently. And I will admit, yes, Wonder Woman did ask Lois Lane. Fair enough, she did ask it. But she was very underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I mentioned, like, you know, when I'm watching, I'm currently trying to watch Sleepy Hollow. You know, I dropped it a while ago. If you haven't watched Sleepy Hollow, it's definitely worth it. It's a bit weird, but if you like Supernatural, I think you'd like Sleepy Hollow. But here's the point, people who don't know Sleepy Hollow. Every single episode, when the main character, the female African-American main character, is very overwhelmed by everything, where it's like, oh, not even over, I'm shocked, where it says, Ichabod Crane, the man from 200 years ago, I don't know about this demon stuff. I don't know. You're just fine. But everything else just seems a bit too weird for me. Just shut up, you know? He's from 200 years ago. You've accepted that. Accept more things, you judgmental bastard. You know? What are you doing here? But here's the thing, though, right? So, again, you know, but I still feel as if when Lois Lane turns into a giant green... good-looking monster. Questions should be raised. Other than, I'm relatively calm here. You know, I will admit, I'm happy she didn't start punching. I'll say that. You know, I'm really happy she didn't start punching. When they start punching, I get angry. But it's still on the opposite extreme where they were just like, wait a minute, she shouldn't start punching. People get mad about that. We listen to those guys. DC listens to those guys. We listen to those guys. They would get mad if she just starts punching. Well, thank you, DC, for listening. But now we're on the exact opposite end of the spectrum.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's an issue. I mean, what did you... Now, I've asked you what you liked about certain issues. What did you not like about this issue?
Oh, boy. I didn't like the majority of it. I mean...
We don't have the time. Oh, no, continue.
One of my main issues, and I was okay with it at first, but it's becoming a really big... It's becoming a really bad thing, in my opinion, is the conversations in, I guess, Super Doom's head between Super Doom and Clark, to the point in the beginning where he's like, I have to stop you from taking control. No, I will always win. And now it's just like, we should probably smash that. Yeah, we probably should. It's like, you're not supposed to agree with him. What are you doing? It's just like, it's getting too much.
I'm wondering... I'll say this. I agree with you, but I'm wondering if they're trying to do a thing where Doom is like, yeah... I'll say normal, kind of agreeable things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm over, you know, and then when I take over, things will happen, man. You know? I'm wondering if that's what they're doing, where it's like, it's trying to make Clark think like, oh yeah, Doom's like, is such a good guy, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute, Clark. I think that's the exact opposite of how you should be thinking right now. But
exactly.
He's letting me do good things and beat up bad people. That's what he wants you to think, Clark.
Exactly.
That might be what they're going for, but again, you know, as we talked about, it all comes down to, why this long, DC?
Exactly.
What are you doing?
It's so drawn out, and it's unnecessary. And I think that's one of the main problems with Superman Wonder Woman 10 kind of declining is the fact that this writer, he's done all of the issues for Superman Wonder Woman prior to Doomed, and I loved all of those issues.
Yes.
So I feel like this wasn't what he wanted to do at all with the characters. And because of that, the book is not as strong as it was. That's my main feeling with this.
Yeah, I would agree, because I think what they're telling him, or what he wants, and it's, you know, it's hard to do this, is, all right, we have to have Wonder Woman in this, obviously, right? We have to have Wonder Woman somehow involved. We have to, because it's Superman Wonder Woman, and it involves a relationship, we have to make a reference between relationships in this, right? Mm-hmm. And with those guidelines, they have to craft the story around it, even though the story should be Superman doomed.
Exactly.
And it's hard. I mean, I see it. Like, you know, with the John Corbin thing, them having to draw parallels with the relationship between Corbin and Lois and Wonder Woman and Superman. But again, if that was taken out, would people be crying? And
definitely
I wouldn't.
Not me.
In fact, I think the exact opposite, right?
Yeah.
I think people would be cheering to the point that, you know, wrestling chants like, you know, like that Stone Cold get, the yes chance for Daniel Bryan, those would be completely usurped over the yes, thank God, for this not being included in
mm-hmm.
Superman Doom. Because,
exactly.
Again, it makes you feel as if, you know, if depending on what was released in this issue, it makes you think, could I skip this? You know,
mm-hmm.
is there the opportunity, right, to skip this and make sure I don't read it? You know, and now they're including Superman annuals for some god-awful reason. as if to say, you know what, just screw it. That's all.
It's great.
Our motto
they're even going to include
screw it.
It's great because they're even going to include an issue of Supergirl. And that's it. Just one issue from Supergirl will be a tie-in.
Well, that I understand, I guess,
I can understand
with her current role.
Yeah.
No, but again, though, her role shouldn't be any bigger than what it is right now. I'll give you that
exactly.
One. Yeah. And then also the Cyborg stuff wasn't even that good, because I hate to say this, you know, because I don't want to sound like I'm just asking for mind-numbing action, but when Cyborg Superman says, I'm coming, you want him to start punching.
Exactly.
So to have it just be a very quick talk and maybe we'll get some things in action. Hopefully. But for right now, it's just an issue. Also, while I mentioned the Corbin stuff being, you know, like, you know, being, again, a parallel, I also admit it didn't really need to happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, my exact reaction was literally since it just, good, Brainiac. Because I will admit, that is pretty interesting. Oh, good, Brainiac. Oh, bad. What the fuck is this? That was my exact, the two lines are right under each other. You know, right, one after another. That's how I feel. And, I don't care, and that's a problem. Because we will continue, sorry if we bitch next week, but we will continue with this because, you know, it hasn't made us drop it just yet. And no matter what, Anthony won't drop a Superman comic. You
never.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, look at him. Look at you. DC loves you. They're going to tassel your hair. You jerk.
Yeah.
But anyway, all jokes aside, we have a clock to beat. We're at our last book. But anyway, sorry. We're going to keep on reading this, right? We'll see where it goes. If it gets that bad, though, I'll drop it. And you will have to make your own damn podcast. Okay?
Damn.
Okay. No, I don't know. I probably won't drop it unless it gets really, like, that bad. I mean, you know, Eternal levels of really awkward. Like, even Eternal hasn't gotten that bad, thankfully.
Yeah.
there's a point of no return, you know? And let's hope they don't go there. But, anyway, moving forward, only 12 minutes left, and we are at our final comic book of the day, All New Invaders number 7. What do you think, Anthony?
I loved it, actually. There were a few things that were iffy to me, but on the whole, I really enjoyed it. It was one of those cases for me where I would have probably ended my adding it on my pull list after this issue had it not been for the last page and, like, that big reveal. But that's pretty much the reason, like, I'm going to keep reading. That and the giant eagle of death that was attacking Tokyo.
Yes, I actually would have wanted another issue of the giant eagle of death, I'm not going to lie. I feel as if there was, a lot about this issue was great. It's funny how he said we didn't want things to be drawn out, but I do think that this two-issue arc was kind of so good that with it ending, because regardless of what's happening next issue, this arc ended. Most of them assume that much. So it was so good that it sucks that it would have to be thrown away in a way. Because this arc would have been the reason why I would have told people, buy the next TPB. But now, while I'm I'm compelled to read more, but not super duper interested, because it felt like it was trying to be a shocking thing to try and get me to do it, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
Because you look at you know, some cliffhangers, and obviously they're cliffhangers, and they make me go, wow, the lead up to this makes me want to read. This just made me think, swerve him and he will read. Swerve them all, and they will come to us eventually. Do it now,
yeah.
You must. Where it's not really that interesting to me because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I will admit it was a good issue. You know, I will say that much. I wish this would have lasted longer, because honestly, if I am to buy the next TPB, I wouldn't buy the first. I in no way have any feelings towards buying the first Invaders TPB, if only because 99.9% of the time, I am a collector to the point where I will get the entirety of something, even if maybe the first issue or the first arc or whatever wasn't that intriguing, but it was still, but it's still kind of cool, and, you know, and it ties in with everything else. Fair enough. Not this. I would have, if Invaders becomes that good, 2 through whatever it ends with, and never get one.
Yeah.
Because that's how I personally felt. But I'm not so sure now, because, you know, I don't know where it's going. You know, we had that crazy, you know, I'm not really human thing happen. And I'm not saying I'm going to drop this. I will admit I think I should be getting, but I don't know if you should get the next one, people. You know, you've gotten, I'm sure, you know, if you want to get this one and then the last issue, definitely get them, because they honestly work as an actual freaking, like, two-parter, standalone.
Yeah.
That is actually very interesting if you want to, if you just think, oh, I want to read something really cool. Get Invaders 6 and 7.
Exactly.
But all new Invaders, mind you, all new Invaders 6 and 7. I enjoyed them a lot, and, you know, and you did too, but I just don't know where we're going, and, you know, I don't feel really just, you know, again, compelled. Maybe. Not so much really interested. You know,
yeah, I mean,
when I say interest, I'm sorry, you go.
Oh, I was going to say, I think the best way to describe this book is that you should get it mainly if you're a fan of the characters. I think the storytelling has pretty much been hit or miss, especially between this and the first arc. I think this is more of kind of like a fan service book. Like, do you like these characters? Then you should get this book, because they're in here, and they're written pretty damn well. Story may not
Fair
be top notch, but you'll like the characters.
You know what? I'll give you that. Yeah, so if you like the... But not if you're a big fan of the Winter Soldier fella. Because if you've noticed, you know, Winter Soldier hasn't been in the last two issues. That's kind of what pushed Anthony to throw it out of his pull list. But then, now with this invasion, now Anthony is convinced that hopefully his best friend, Winter Soldier, will come back. Which, honestly, yeah, I admit that he probably will. You know? The world goes to shit. You get Winter Soldier.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And when I say that, you know, when I say interested, right, obviously you might think, well, if you're compelled, you're interested. But when I think interested, right, when it's like, oh, are you into, like, I'm interested, you know, like I really want to, but I don't feel super crazy interested in any of this. I just feel as if, okay. Like, you know,
exactly.
And I will admit, it was pretty crazy. It was kind of funny. I was reading, you know, a bit before the podcast and, you know, talked to Anthony a bit, and he said, oh, where are you? And I said, oh, well, I'm 2 pages away from finishing. And he goes, oh, okay, this jerk over here. And all of a sudden, I flip to the last page, and it's just, my mission here on Earth was about done anyway. And I'm like, okay. I mean, if that's what we're doing here, okay. I just don't know how to feel.
Yeah.
You know, and now what worries me, that I really just, it really clicked, I'm worried that because of alien nonsense, we're going to get what we got the first 6 issues.
That is a very big concern.
First five issues. And
yeah.
I don't want any of that at all. Because
not
if that's what it is, again, you know, I joked about Superman a bit. It was half joke. I'm pretty damn serious that if it goes full alien again, even if Bucky's there, I would rather not do it on this show. And I would tell people, get the first 2 issues and cut out the last page.
Exactly.
You know, get 6 and 7 and just cut out the last page and use it for something, you know, better for your use, like toilet paper.
Or, I was about to say that.
Yeah, just, you know, or origami, you know. Just do something. I hate that I use origami when we just had a Japanese character. I'm sorry, everyone. I meant that it's more of just use it for something, damn it. You know, use it as a napkin. You know, don't please don't. Like, just, that's what, so I'm hoping, I'm really hoping, and as I'm sure you are, as you said you are, that we kind of veer away from really, you know, big alien names that you know, that we're supposed to just nod and just go, yep, the herp the derp
exactly.
is coming to Earth to take over the chluch. So, but yeah, so here we are. We did it with 5 minutes to spare.
Yeah.
The Beat the Clock Challenge has been finished, and we win. So next, you know what that means, right? It's like a WWE match with the Beat the Clocks, where now next time if we do a Beat the Clock, we have to beat 55 minutes. So next time, yeah, if anyone doesn't know, when they do Beat the Clock matches in, you know, wrestling, which, by the way, you know, watch WWE, sort of. There are things that are interesting there. Not everything, but there are interesting things. They'll do Beat the Clock challenges where they'll have three matches in a night, and then the first, you know, we'll have to, let's say they win for, you know, let's say they fight for 15 minutes. That means the second guy, even whoever wins, you know, even if he wins, doesn't matter. He has to beat the other guy in that 15 minutes, a bit before it. So, yeah, so now our Beat the Clock challenge next time if we do one is 55 minutes. But, today we did a lot. Today we did, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Why am I Hugh Jackman? 8. 8 comics today. That's a lot of comics, said Hugh Jackman. And
for 55 minutes.
Yeah, in 55 minutes. And again, thank you guys for listening to those guys. If you definitely, you know, definitely like us on our Facebook, which, by the way, is Those Guys on the Radio via the URL. If you are searching us up, search up Those Guys. We don't just do, you know, comic podcasts, as I'm sure you've seen. If you know anything about, you know, our hopefully our, you know, Facebook page or anything like that, you know, we also do wrestling, which, by the way, if you're not a fan of wrestling, fine. Do you like Dragon Ball Z? Because we do Dragon Ball Z podcasts every... You don't? Well, we did a Bleach movie podcast. Oh, you still don't like that? Well, you know, we're sorry. Actually, yeah, you don't like that? Post on our Facebook page. You know, we take requests. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, so long as it's nothing crazy, you know, because there are nothing crazy, but, like, there's certain things that obviously we're not super huge fans of, you know? So as long as you're not saying, you guys, you know, like, I'm not well-versed in the My Little Pony, right? But I'm not saying I can't give it a try if someone wants to, you know, have us do a show on My Little Pony. Again, I'm sure Anthony, I will sit Anthony down to watch My Little Pony.
Adventures of Sprinkle Fly.
Yeah. So that's the thing. We're not, you know, so again, those guys on the radio, it's our Facebook page, definitely, you know, send us a post if you want to, you know, ask us to do a certain show. Also, like our page because, you know, if you did like any of the things that I just brought up, wrestling, Dragon Ball Z, Bleach, you know, comic books, you know, Pokemon, we'll be doing shows on those. And if you want to know when, like our page. We're always updating. We're always telling you what time the show's on, things like that. Also, definitely... you know, send us an email if you want to, saying, you know, you were good, you were bad, you should do this show. ThoseGuysOnTheRadio@gmail.com. You want to promote with us, you know, same thing, we can promote you on our show. Speaking of promoting on our show, hello, Anthony.
Hello, Matt.
Anthony, you make custom figures, do you not?
This is true.
This is true. So you make custom figures. Now, tell me how you do it, right? Because I've heard and I've seen that on your Instagram, which is Geek4Life blog, right? You
yes.
post some of your figures, like, let's say, Optimus Prime or Winter Soldier, and you'll repaint them to become not necessarily different characters completely, but mostly different costumes.
Exactly.
Is that correct? Right.
Absolutely.
So you could, but in theory, you could also do different characters.
Exactly. I can do different comic book characters, even original characters that you come up with.
Exactly. You know, so long as he knows, you know, you send him reference pictures and things like that. I mean, you know, if you've seen, you know, different maybe people posting those, what are those figures? I can't believe I forgot the names. The ones that have, now they've been releasing just pure white versions of them for people
Pop
to paint
Funkos.
On. Thank you. They've released pure white. Anthony could even do something with you with that, you know,
exactly.
if you're willing to. Yeah, just, you know, again, so... Please understand that Anthony is very talented. He also does kit bashing, which involves using different little tiny, let's say, like guns or swords from different sets to use to include to make, let's say, better looking, more realistic guns for certain characters. Let's say maybe Winter Soldier or Captain America, things like that. Or for Batman, give Batman a gun, children. hey, if you want it, he'll do it. That sounds very awkward out of context, but he's very good at what he does. Instagram. Geek, the number 4, so Geek 4 Life blog, and check him out. You know, PM him, you know, and, negotiate prices. Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, if you want to promote with us as well, please, you know, email us. You know, you can talk to us on the Facebook page about it, but, you know, definitely email us about promotions, things like that. And, yeah, we'll promote you on our show, and that's that. So, again, thank you guys for listening to those guys. I am Matt Marrero. Last I checked, you're Anthony San Andres. Yes?
That is correct.
All right, and we are signing out. Now let's play our opening song.
If you could be a superhero, would you be Justice Guy? Making sure people get what they deserve, especially women who lie. Like if a wife left her husband with 3 kids and no job, to run off to f***ing Hawaii with a doctor named Bob. You could skin them and drain them of blood so they die. Especially that motherfucker Bob. Then you would be Justice Guy.